The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hey, this is Mr. Voice, Rick Gregg. I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast, and you should too.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 251 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean, who is something like 8 weeks away from the Boston Marathon.
As of the recording, 63 days, and if I were to run today, I wouldn't be able to find the marathon route or the finish line because it's covered with snow. We're here in the frozen tundra of New England. So I am looking forward to a trip to Austin later on this year, and I hear there's no snow in Austin, so I'm looking forward to that. But I'm actually seriously considering booking a trip to Disney just to get some long runs in. It's a sacrifice.
Yeah, it'd be a long day. I'm sure that it's not as warm as you would think down there in Orlando, but it's definitely not as white.
Yeah,
that's for
that's
sure.
True. So it's been a while since we recorded. We had a whole bunch of shows that we did together, and I'm excited about jumping back in.
Okay, Michelle, and as you recall, the first thing we do is a shout out, and that comes from you.
Yeah. So this shout out is somebody posted this on our Mickey Miles Podcast page. His name is Brian Baldwin. And he did something kind of neat. I've seen people do this before, but this was pretty tricky. He ran and turned on his GPS watch and ran in a pattern. I'm sure it wasn't just a random pattern. He ran, Mike, in the pattern of a Star Wars TIE fighter, and he posted it on our page. So this is really cool. I always think it's neat when people have the wherewithal to do this. I haven't done anything like that. Maybe I could spell my name, Michelle Scribner-McLean. There would be a lot of running around.
I think I'm going to try that.
Yeah?
Next time I go off a run, I'm going to try to do it in the shape of an I.
An I? An eyeball or the letter I?
The letter I.
Oh, you're going to have to jump, I guess.
Yeah.
Or are you going to do like...
out and back.
Oh, okay. That's funny. Or we could do it as a tiara to celebrate our princess people who are going down to the princess soon. Yeah, okay. I was thinking of a small eye. You'd have to, like, jump and do a dot.
Out
All right.
and
Got
back.
It. All right. So you ready for some announcements?
Yes.
All right. The first one is I wanted to request from anybody who feels like they would like to do this. I would really appreciate it. This year, again, I'm running the Boston Marathon. I'm running for a great cause, Spalding Rehab. And I'm a little past halfway for my fundraising goal with about 63 days to go. So I'm wondering if people who listen to the podcast could donate 5 or 10 miles to support $5 or $10. 5 or 10 miles would be awesome. $5 or $10 to support Spalding Rehab. If you're interested in doing that, you would go to crowdrise.com. That is CROWRISE.com. And just look for Michelle Scribner, and you will see my fundraising. And Mike, can I count on you?
Yes, Michelle, you can, because I know that Spalding. I've been at Spalding Hospital, and I know what the staff is like there. I know how dedicated they are to the patients. It's a rehab hospital. They are the leader when it comes to doing what they need to do to help all these bombing victims. And, you know, that day happened for one. It happened 2 years ago, and, you know, for a lot of us, it was a couple of days, a couple of weeks of really, really seeing a lot of things that go on. But for those who were really affected by it, it's going to affect them for the rest of their lives. And Spalding is a very, very good hospital, and it really helps those who are in need. I've been there. I've seen the nurses. I've heard them talk about the passion they have to help their patients. It's very, very personal, and I think it's a great cause. And I know we have a lot of great causes out there. This is one that I never hesitate to support. So I'm hoping that all of our listeners can, you know, $1, $5, it really doesn't matter. We're not looking to break the bank. We just want to ask people to give you a hand. And I commend you for going out again and doing it. The Boston Marathon is a grueling, grueling race. I have not done it. I've done the Half Break Hill, the Heartbreak Hill Half Marathon, and that was a killer. Mm. So I can't imagine what it is.
Well, I appreciate your support, and hopefully our listeners will support us too, support this run too. The next announcement I have has to do with all those lovely princesses and princes who are going down to the Princess Weekend this weekend, coming weekend. And our buddy and our Mickey Miles podcast teammate, Eddie McCoy, is actually holding a meet. It's going to be at the Wave Restaurant, which is at the Contemporary. It's going to be Saturday, February 21st at 2 o'clock. And so look for Eddie and other Mickey Miles podcast listeners there. It's going to be in the bar, I should say, in the lounge area, which is very relaxing and nice. So Saturday, 2 o'clock. I wish I could go. I like it there. All right. Mike, do you want to catch people up on the cruise? What's going on with the cruise?
The cruise. I think we have something like 15, I don't know, 15 or 30. I guess if you want to say two to a cabin, we have 30 people who are already signed up.
Yeah, at least. I think it's more. Maybe more. Closer to 40. But yeah.
40 people. And so, and what's kind of neat is that there are some people who are going on their very first Disney cruise.
Yeah.
And they're in for a big surprise. I'm looking forward to it. I know that it's 10 months away, maybe 11 months away. So I'm getting excited about it. It should be fun. I think that one of the things that I'm excited about is what you, Becky, and I have plans for. And actually, we have already started doing certain things. And as soon as we can, we intend to announce something or reveal something.
Yep. So if people are interested, they would go onto the Mickey Miles Podcast 2016 Dream Cruise page on Facebook. You don't have to definitely be going. You just can join and join in the conversation. We have a good mix of people who are thinking about going and people who are on the fence, and then other people who are going for their first time. And then we have our expert MEI people like Becky and Amanda Gonzalez and some other MEI folks who are there. So pop in if you think you want to join us. And I think I can't wait. I know that we've had terrible weather in New England, and I've been daydreaming. I just came back about a month ago. I've been daydreaming about this next one. So should be fun. The last thing, Mike, I wanted to mention is it's the beginning of a new year, kind of. And we have 350 people on our Mickey Miles podcast running team, the Mickey Milers. And the cool thing that I like, Mike, is that people are meeting up at all these races, whether we're going to be there or not. We have a big group of people who are going to be running as Mickey Milers for Princess, but they're running in other places too, all over the country. We have some friends who just completed their first marathon in Austin, and they were wearing Mickey Miles gear and just all over the place. So to join, you're going to go on MickeyMilesPodcast.com and click on Mickey Milers and join us. And it's for a good cause.
Someday my dream is to have one Run Disney Corral filled with all yellow and purple. That would be kind of cool, and that would really blow Rudy's mind.
Yeah, so I just want to mention, I said people in Austin, it's Timothy DeLauro and Christy DeLauro did their first marathon in Austin and proudly wore their Mickey Milers gear. So what are we talking about today, Michael?
We're doing questions. We're trying to catch up to all the questions, so this will be the first of several question shows. And as always, when we do these question shows, Michelle, you start us off.
I know. You know what? I'm not going to start it off, because when you were saying questions, I thought it would be great if we had a questions theme song. And who do you think of when you think of theme songs? Jared. our buddy Jared, we have to give him a shout out too. Jared and Teresa just got married in Las Vegas. Yay!
That's right. Oh, one more shout out, Michelle.
We're never going to start the show.
Mr. and Mrs. Voice.
Oh, yes.
Rick and Jamie Gregg had a baby girl on Valentine's Day, Saturday, Valentine's Day.
Baby voice. Baby. Goodness.
Valentine's Day baby. I think she came in at 20 inches and she was 8 pounds, 2 ounces or something like that.
Lots of news.
Yeah. So congratulations, Rick and Jamie, and baby voice.
Baby girl voice. The first question is from Ron Slater. And it says, Mike and Michelle, on a recent episode, a listener asked for help with plantar fasciitis. I have flat feet and I have worn orthotics for 15 years. Occasionally, I have some plantar fasciitis pain on the bottom of my foot and heel, as well as in the heel itself. Several months ago, I recommended my sports podiatrist to a colleague suffering severe plantar fasciitis pain. He was ready to undergo surgery in an effort to release the pain. My sports podiatrist recommended the Darko FS6 DCS plantar fasciitis sleeve zoned compression sock. There's a mouthful for you. We'll put the link in the show notes. As I too was experiencing some discomfort from plantar fasciitis at the time, I purchased 2 of the sleeves and began wearing them 12 hours per day, Monday through Friday. After 2 weeks, the pain on the bottom of my foot was gone. After 6 weeks, the pain on my heel was gone. I'm very grateful for this product and for my relief. My training miles for the marathon were increasing, and I was growing concerned that I was going to do some significant damage to my feet. My colleague is pain-free as well. 2 months later, I'm having no issues, and my training runs have been great. I still wear the socks 5 days a week. And so that is from Ron from Cincinnati, Ohio. So thank you, Ron, for sharing that. Again, for people who might want to try, it's called the Darko FS6 DSC Plantar Fasciitis Sleeve and Compression Sock. All right. That's one of the few ailments we have not encountered between the two of us.
I'm against anti-compression anyways. thank you, Ron, for that information. The next question comes from Elaine Swart, who says, I am a fairly new runner. Up until now, I have only run in 5Ks and one Expedition Everest challenge, which was almost a 10K after the scavenger hunt portion. In February, I'm running my first 10K during the Princess Half Marathon weekend, and I am really worried about getting swept because I am really slow. Can you give me some tips on how to run at a faster speed? Right now, I run about a 14 to a 15-minute mile. Can you also give me some tips on how to boost my energy during the race? Also, I am going to purchase a water belt. What brand would you recommend? Thank you for your help. I have really enjoyed your podcast. It has really been a huge inspiration. Okay, Michelle, number one. She wants to know, can we give her some tips on how to run at a faster speed?
Well, I guess, you know, Mike, as I was reading this email, I was thinking that we should probably do a whole podcast on how to run at a faster speed. It's not something that I've worked a lot on for me. What I have done is to work with a trainer or work with a coach, but also I've read the Jeff Galloway book, and I've also looked at, you know, just on a web search, Runner's World and things like that has some tips. But I think that's something that we should probably do a show on. I know that for me, running the run, walk, run actually improved my time. So running at a faster speed, sometimes just doing that can help you. Also, what do you want to say about that?
No, I agree. I think that I remember several friends have said to me that they use Galloway so that they can go at a certain pace because the walking portion allows them to recover and to maintain the quick pace that they do when they run. So, yes, I agree.
Okay, her next question was about how to boost her energy. Mike, you want to tackle that one?
It's one of the things that we have learned over the years is that the importance of nutrition during a race. So what we have heard from Tara as well as others is the importance of making sure you are ready to go before and during the race, and of course after when you recover. But one of the things that I recall best, and I know that I've used this several times, I wish I used it more because I need to be more disciplined in this area, is, you know, you take a gel or something take a gel about 15 minutes before start of the race, and then you continue doing so in a very timely manner every 30 to 45 minutes. Take another gel. Also have your water, if it's just plain water or whatever. Make sure that you're very timely and very consistent with that. And what will happen is that will keep your energy level at a certain pace. If you wait until you're hungry, if you wait until you're thirsty, then it's too late, because it will take time for that nutrition to get into your system, to be absorbed by your system. Many times we've heard, well, I take the gel because I'm really hungry. Well, maybe you should take it when you're not hungry, because by the time you are hungry, that gel will be hitting you so that you'll be fine with the energy. But that's what I would suggest, Michelle.
Yeah, the thing to remember about energy is that that's one of the reasons that you do your training and you figure out what works for you. And, you know, I know that for me, I have to have the same type of thing when I'm going out for a long run. For me, it's a smoothie. But then I've also had to kind of play with what sort of nutrition helps me. And through all the training runs, I've made mistakes, but now I know exactly what works for me. And, you know, I think that's the benefit of training, that you kind of take note of those things, talk to other runners and things like that, because what works for me is not going to work for you. The other thing I can recommend, though, that you can do when you get to the race is to do some common sense things like stay off your feet the day before the race. Don't go touring around the parks. Get to bed at a very early hour, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock at the latest for your very early wake up. And, you know, just even resting a few days before you go, do your Disney World touring after your race. And I think that will help you with your energy level. The next, Mike, is water belts.
Water belt. And the thing, Elaine, with the water belts is that there are several kinds of water belts that are out there. I know that Michelle and I both use the iFitness, which is now the Fitletics hydration belts. And one of the things that I want to mention about any type of belt, hydration, nutrition belt, is that it's one of those things where you need to make sure that you are really comfortable with, and not something that you would buy the day before a race and then wear it. We use Fitletics because it offers all types of options. That's the other thing. There are options. Do you want one big bottle? Do you want several small bottles? Do you want an option to add more bottles? How many bottles do you need? Things like that. So I would suggest going to the Fitletics website, and you could go see what would work for you. And they'll also have an opportunity to see them at the expo. But again, a water belt, just like a pair of shorts, a pair of running shoes, a top, you really need to get an idea of what it feels like to wear something like that during training so that you'll be ready for it.
Yeah, and you know, you and I don't actually use the same type of water belt. There are different types within Fitletics. I use one that I can put my own regular water bottles in, and you use the kind that I used to use where you have to, it has the little tiny bottles that you clean. So to each his own, you got to try out different things. Another place that I've seen water bottles is, you know, aside from your local running store, which you should try out, is a discount place like Marshall's. I don't know if they have that all over the U.S., but it's a discount place, and I've seen water belts there too. But the expo is a great place to try it out. I wouldn't go to the expo and buy one and use it for the next day, but rather take it home and practice with it. All right, Elaine, let us know how it works out.
Good luck.
Okay. Our next question is from our good buddy, Trey Brush, and he says, thank you so much for doing the Jeff Galloway questions. I submitted a question and wanted to let you know the results. I know that I hear many questions, and I wanted to let you hear a story of the success that goes with it. I asked about doing a marathon as a training run 4 weeks before Disney. Jeff recommended running it at least at a 2 minute slower per mile pace than I normally would. Unlike normal, I actually did something like I should. It was a great race. I got to run the Kiawah Island Marathon with friends, and we had an amazing time. I felt fantastic, and my last 6 miles were my fastest, and I did what Jeff said. I knew it worked because after 2 days off from running, I was back to training, and I felt great. I did not feel heavy legs or sluggish at all. So thank you for the show. It helped a lot, and it allowed me to be smart. I do have one question that I'm sure you've answered, but it's a quick one. Is there a suggested time to experience the expo on marathon weekend. I usually do it Thursdays, and it's packed in the middle of the afternoon. I was not sure if there's a time of day that's better than others, or is it just going to be packed and that's the way it is? Thank you for the show. You do an amazing job. Thank you, Trey. So, Mike, you and I have actually experimented with expo times. Want to share the gems of wisdom that we have?
we noticed this at the Avengers and out in California. Excuse me. And we noticed also at the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend how just a small adjustment can make a big difference. And here's what we have found. The best time to go to the expo that is least crowded and make the best of your time is around 3 o'clock on the day before the very first race that you're going to do for that weekend. And you go pick up your bib and then you go to the expo. Why is that a good time? Because most people will arrive a day or two before the expo. They'll get there first thing in the morning, get their bibs, run around, do a whole bunch of stuff, and they're usually gone by 12 or 1. By 3 o'clock, a lot of people are already there in the parks. They're doing their plans, whatever, for their running schedule, whatever, and it works really well. So we have found that, again, 3 o'clock, the day before your first race, there's only one problem, and that is that there's a possibility that there may have been some merchandise there that may be sold out by that day. I'm not sure if that's the case. Like it was several years ago, I just seemed to see merchandise there on that first day. Second day may be an issue if that is the second day of the race weekend. But that's what I remember, Michelle.
Yeah, so I think I would actually disagree with you a little bit. I would recommend that you go a little bit later. So I would say the day before your race. The way that I think we've been doing it is kind of back up 2 or 2.5 hours from the end of the close of the expo and go as late as you possibly can. Often the expos are closing at 8 o'clock. So the nice thing is that you'll have the parking guards won't be out there telling you where to park. You'll be able to move up a little bit. And you don't want to let a lot of extra walking before your race. And you whip right in, get your bib, and then go over to the expo, and the crowds are a little bit less. Now, the downside for us, I found, is that we don't run into as many friends because most of them have come and gone. But I would say 2 hours before the end of the expo is the time I'd recommend to go. Do you disagree, Mike?
No, I think that maybe somewhere in between probably is the best ideal time.
All right, try it out, Trey. Let us know.
Next question comes from Rhonda Hicks, who says, I want to thank you for all the knowledge and advice you have given. Being a new runner, I have learned so much from both of you, and I really appreciate it, and we're glad to help, Rhonda. I will be running my first half marathon during Princess Weekend in February. My mom will be coming with me. She would like to cheer me on, and I have a couple of questions I was hoping you could help answer, as I know that both of you have cheered on your friends at multiple Run Disney races. First, does she ride the bus with me at 2 in the morning to get to the races, or is there a spectator bus that comes later? She would like to see me at the starting line, then taking the monorail over to the TTC and see me there before heading back to the finish line. I am a fairly slow runner, so I think she will have plenty of time to do this, but I wanted to ask if you thought this was a good idea, or should she just stay around Epcot? Finally, I wanted to ask, what was something each of you wish you knew the first time you cheered on your friends? Do you wish you brought something or went somewhere else? Thank you for all your help. Okay, Michelle, cheering.
All right. So, Mike, I'm going to defer to you because you've done a lot more cheering than I have. But I think what I would do is I'd recommend that she go with you, take the 2 o'clock bus. She can stand with you up until you go to the start line. So that's, you know, quite a bit of time, 4:30 or so. And then she can either go to, maybe go over to the Magic Kingdom on Main Street USA, or maybe the Ticket and Transportation Center, see you there, and then ride the monorail to Epcot and see you at the end. But, I'll answer the other question about what we wish we had known after you talk about your suggestions.
Okay, first off, there's a very important reason why she should get up at 2 o'clock with you, because then you both be on the same sleep schedule. you both be up at the same time, so you'll probably both be getting tired at the same time, so that's important. Secondly, yes, you don't want to risk her not being getting there in time, so going together and starting the day together is important. She can go to the starting area, the gathering area, I should say, and be with you until you go to the start. She cannot be at the start. Then she would take the monorail to the TTC, Ticket and Transportation Center, and I would suggest that she try to get a try to see you there. And the best place would be if she follows where the gates, the barriers are set up, and she goes as far away from the Ticket and Transportation Center as possible, where she'll see where the runners will turn left to go down a long straightaway before they go underneath and over and continue on to the Magic Kingdom. That area, if she's on the left as the runners turn, you'll probably be able to see her, and she'll be able to see you. It's more important for her, you to be able to see her than she be able to see you, because I'm sure she'll be able to spot you really, really, really fast. Then from there, she would then go back to Epcot. And if she takes the monorail back, then she should be there in plenty of time to see you. It's more of a hassle going back to Epcot than it is coming from Epcot. So having her leave the TTC after she sees you and goes back to Epcot is a good idea. She can take her time. She doesn't have to rush. I would even suggest that she maybe have breakfast at the Polynesian, walk over to the Polynesian, have breakfast, and then go back to Epcot. That would be my suggestion. Now, Michelle, what do you wish you knew then that you know now the first time you cheered?
Well, you know, I think the thing that I wish I had known is how much work cheering is. It's really, I cheered on Main Street the day before my first marathon, which probably wasn't a great idea, but it can take a lot out of you in terms of your voice, your legs, you know, just your stamina. So I think that just to make sure that you move around a little bit, you give yourself a break, bring yourself snacks and things like that, make signs, and wear something that you, your runner knows that you're wearing, something brightly colored, bright orange, bright pink, and tell your runner exactly where you're going to be and what you're going to be wearing. Another thing, too, is to use, if you're running with a phone, to follow your runner on Find My Friends or some sort of way to track them if you can. Mike?
Having run the races many times before actually cheering helped for me to figure out what, if I was a runner, what I was looking, what I would be looking for from my cheerleaders. So I was pretty prepared. I think that what's important is to, number one, mention, have an agreed place as to where your runner will see you if you're cheering. And number two, wear something different. A lot of people wear yellow, a lot of people wear red. Maybe a blinking light on top of a pole would be something that you could think about, but or a pom-pom or something special. But I think that as a runner, I was pretty well knowledgeable regarding what I wanted to see as a cheerer. What I didn't know is that you always give yourself plenty of time. And that's something that I didn't know early on, but I kind of knew, but I really found out how important it was to, as soon as you know that you need to move, because the runners sometimes can be faster than you think. And getting around on a Walt Disney World Marathon weekend can be very challenging, let me tell you.
Did you say wear a pom-pom?
Wear a pom-pom.
Okay. So our buddy Lara Ozzo has a gigantic whatchamacallit that she has all sorts of signs on. That's how we know she's there. But she also tells everybody exactly where she's going to be. All right. So good luck, Rhonda. Let us know how it goes. Our next question is from Joe Laslio, and he says, I'm running Goofy. Oh, we're a little late for this, Joe. Sorry. It's the first time I've run back-to-back races. The plan was to follow conventional wisdom and take it easy on the half and run the full as best as I can. That flat course, though, has me tempted to go for a PR on the half and survive the full. I know your feelings about getting a PR at Disney, but most, if not all, of the half experiences are duplicated in the full. Thoughts on the strategy? Mike?
I think that I always defer to Jeff when it comes to this kind of stuff. I don't know if I would attempt to go for a. I don't know if I would go for a PR on the half, and then try to do the full. I think I would do exactly what Jeff says. I would go very slow. I mean, this. I remember talking with your brother about something like this, Michelle, and what your brother Mark, who is an Ironman competitor, he would say that, you know, depending upon what he's doing, he waits and waits and waits. He knows how much energy to put into every leg. And just as Jeff has mentioned about, you know, walking the 5K, maybe walking and maybe jogging a little bit with the 10K, and then making sure you do run, walk, run with the half. And then you know what you have left for the full. The whole idea is to survive. The whole idea is to finish. Think of it this way, Joe. Imagine going all out for the half and then not having anything left for the full. And guess what? No marathon medal, no dopey medal. So I think that when it comes to these types of challenges, I think the important thing, and Michelle has mentioned this many times, you just want to finish. You just want to finish. Don't worry about setting a PR. When it comes to a single race at a single event, then maybe it's PR time. But again, it's very hard to get a PR at a Run Disney race.
Well, you know, and now that we say that, I've had a few of our running buddies message me very recently saying that they really disagree with that, that they believe that the Run Disney races are a good PR type of event. So, you know, my philosophy is that you're spending a lot of money, you want to spend time running with your friends and taking pictures and things like that. However, Joe, as Joe points out, it's a flat course. Certainly if you're up in the higher corrals without a lot of congestion from the combination of walkers and runners, certainly, you know, give it a shot. But Joe, I'm curious about what you ended up doing. But I, Mike, I definitely think we should have a show because there's probably a healthy debate to be had about this. All right. So our last question
comes from Patrick Alcacid, who says, "Hi, Michelle and Mike and the Mickey Miles podcast team. Help, help, help. I looked on my marathon training plan and calendar, and it turns out that my 20-mile long run before my taper will be when we will be in Walt Disney World, which is about 3 weeks before my April marathon. We will be staying at the Contemporary. Can you suggest a long run route in this area? Is it safe to run on the public roads, or should I just run the 20-mile run the week before when I'm at home? I don't want to taper too early, but I don't want to skip my 20-mile run either. Thanks, guys. You're the best. Thanks for helping us achieve our goals." Okay, Michelle, we have run around Bay Lake Towers.
Yeah, it's well, the first thing I would do is to go. I don't have them all memorized, but I would go on the MickeyMilesPodcast.com webpage. There actually is, with the help of our buddies of Vanderpool's, they've uploaded all of the race courses for Disney resorts that we know about. So Bay Lake Towers around Contemporary, we were running there once. We ran into our buddy Dave Lawrence, who's also running. It's not very long. It's probably a 2 mile loop, maybe. If I were doing this, what I would do is choose one of two resorts that I like to run in. The first would be, I might go over to Port Orleans French Quarter, park all the way at the end, and you can run over through that resort and over into Riverside. And I think that's about maybe a 3.5 mile loop. Very pretty. I would definitely do it as early as possible so you're avoiding people who are, you know, meandering to breakfast and things like that, or to the pool. So that would be one. But the one I would probably do is go over to Beach Club or Boardwalk and park there, and then run around the boardwalk, run over to the studios around that area, run back, run over around Swan and Dolphin and back around the boardwalk. So that's what I would probably do. Mike?
Okay, Michelle, I'm going to pick up on what you mentioned about Beach Club. So if you drove over to Beach Club or Boardwalk, you may not be able to get through to park there. So I would go real early in the morning, and I would go over to Fantasia Gardens. I would park my vehicle there, and then I would cross the street, and then I would run through Swan and Dolphin area. I would go over the bridge, run through Boardwalk, run around I guess it's called Stormalong Bay still, run the boardwalk, run the beach club, run the yacht club. Then I would go run the path to the studios. I would go past the studios. I would run out the main entrance of the studios, which is well off, which is just off of I-4. And then I would come back on. I would run the rim of the studios parking lot, come back, just backtrack, run the route back to the boardwalk, run around the boardwalk. And depending upon how many miles I had in by then, which should be somewhere in the area of maybe 8, 9, or 10, maybe do it one more time. I don't know if you can really get in a 20-mile run that week down there, Patrick, but that's what I would do. It's just a very, very hard place to run because there are things that are going on all the time. It's very hard to run on the street. So I would suggest something like this because I think it's a nice place. You just go out for a very nice leisurely run and see what it's like to run through Walt Disney World real early in the morning.
So, Mike, my home resort is Beach Club, so I often stay there. But I think if I weren't staying at Beach Club, I might say that I was going to the Boardwalk Bakery, which I probably would do after my run anyway.
But you see, yeah, I think that's good, but I'm talking about doing something like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Because, Patrick, if you start something at 8 o'clock in the morning, it may be 80, 85, maybe as high as 90 degrees in early April, and you want to be careful of that sun.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Well, tell us what happens, and we'd love to hear. We always like to hear reports about where people are running at Walt Disney World. Just be safe. Be safe. Wear reflective clothing wherever you go.
Just be safe, and that will do it for questions. So, again, we want to thank everyone for sending in their questions and keep them coming. We are in catch-up mode right now, and we promise we will get to all of them. So, from Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.